so I'm kind of like trying to open the door. It doesn't open. And I'm like trying other doors. They don't open. And then I kind of hear people. And a little while later, like a couple minutes later, this guy comes up and he's trying to get in too. And I'm like, oh, are you going to the drawing class? And he's like, no, I'm going to this other class. And I'm like, oh, what class are you going to? And he's like, well, there's this knot tying class. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Welcome to The End of the Road, a podcast brought to you by the Wrangell Mountain Center and our supporters in Alaska and around the globe. We thank you. I'm Michelle McAfee.
And I'm John Erdman, Executive Director of the Wrangell Mountain Center. We are a nonprofit organization dedicated to connecting people with wildlands through art, science, and education in Alaska.
This podcast series features hand-picked stories from the 2022 Storytelling Festival in Kennecott and McCarthy. 3 days of grassroots stories from local and visiting storytellers. This series explores some of the magic of that in-person event from the old hardware store in historic downtown McCarthy and the Glacier View Campground on McCarthy's west side.
A big thank you to our west side partners, Nick and Gina Merlino, Glacier View Campground, and McCarthy River Tours.
The two stories in this episode are both taken from the west side, from the Blue Hour at the Glacier View Campground. The technical definition of Blue Hour is a period of twilight when the sun is at a significant depth below the horizon and the remaining sunlight takes on a mostly blue shade. It's a term often used synonymously with dusk or twilight.
Yes, and it was at that time on the west side, as the light was starting to dim on that glorious evening in August, that folks began stepping up to the mic and bringing their stories about sex, love, romance, and Justin Bieber. It was quickly dubbed the Blue Hour.
At the Storytelling Festival, stories can be true, false, or anywhere in between. But our first storyteller, Brooke, swears up and down that her story is true.
And who are we to disagree? Brooke worked on our staff and brought a lot of color and style to the WMC. Brooke is also a talented storyteller, and Brooke's story takes us to her hometown city of Los Angeles, to an LA sex shop and an encounter with Justin Bieber.
Brooke's story was a crowd pleaser, and the judges agreed, awarding Brooke the runner-up prize. Here's Brooke.
Truth be told, this is the story of my unbelievable encounter with a celebrity at a sex shop in Los Angeles. So let me set the scene. It's early March in the year of the pandemic, 2020, and I'm in the car with my friend Kate, and we're driving to go see a concert. And as we're driving, we're catching up, we're chatting, and of course, naturally, the conversation of toys comes up. And I mentioned that my vibrator had crapped out on me a few days prior, and we decide it's only natural that I should go pick up a new one. And so we're driving through West Hollywood, which, for those of you who may have never been to Los Angeles before, West Hollywood is a very prevalent queer community. It might be the queer capital of the USA. And there's a lot of sex shops around. And so we stop at one known as Pleasure Chest. And as we're walking into the entrance, the parking lot is off to my right. And I look over in my periphery, I see these two shadowy figures, one significantly taller than the other, and I do a double take, and I think to myself, oh yeah, that's Justin Bieber. I open the door, my friend Kate walks in, I hold the door open, because I'm a nice person, for the Biebs and his bodyguard. They go in, and a couple who had just checked out leaves the store. So there are six people in the store. Me, my friend Kate, Justin Bieber, his significantly taller bodyguard, and the two store employees. Justin immediately goes to the vibrator section, which is the section that I am most interested in. So my friend and I hang back because we don't want to make a scene. We're not really fans of his, but we grew up in that generation, you know. And so we're kind of just like hanging back, laughing to ourselves, looking at the different products on display. And eventually, he leaves that section and goes to another one, and I peruse through the different upscale sex toys and vibrators. And as I'm making my selection, my friend Kate turns to me coyly and points out that Justin has been spending an ample amount of time in the anal section, specifically looking at dildos and butt plugs. And so we're laughing to ourselves a little bit, and we take our products that we want to purchase, and we go up to the half circle shaped cash register, and we're on one side, and Justin and his bodyguard just so happen serendipitously at the same time as us check out as well. And so we're on either sides, we make our purchases, and the store employee helping him out says to him, wait, you have to see this. Comes over to our side and pulls out on the floor a large black platform with a black-shaped horse saddle with a very comically small dildo for the entire contraption. And the store employee is holding this, what I can only describe as a remote control for like a video game console. I didn't grow up playing like on Xbox or whatever, but it was like that. And so he's holding it, and Justin and his bodyguard are behind me and my friend Kate, and we're all just like looking at this thing on the floor. And then the store employee turns it on, and it's the entire floor starts vibrating. My feet are shaking. I look at Kate, and she's trying to keep it together for the both of us. And I look behind my left shoulder. I see Justin Bieber. He's staring, eyes wide open, mouth slightly agape, as if to signify that he's thinking, oh, the wife is going to love this. We share this moment, and it ends. And I finish checking out. Justin and his bodyguard walk in front of us. He holds the door open for us this time as we exit. And I thought to myself, you know, part of me wanted to ask him if he would buy my vibrator for me, but then I didn't end up doing that because, like, who am I to ask someone just because they're famous? You know what I mean? But he holds the door open for us, and I say, thank you, have a good night. And he says the same. And my friend Kate and I are driving off into the concert laughing. And a few weeks go by, and the pandemic and lockdown is in full swing. And I'm talking to Kate on the phone, and we're reminiscing about how hilariously weird and serendipitous this occasion was that we shared this moment with, of all people, Justin Bieber, you know, at a sex shop in LA where we've both lived our entire lives. And it's funny because apparently now Justin Bieber is like very devoutly Christian, and like he kind of, I guess he had been his whole life, but like it really came out during the pandemic. And Kate said a funny, made a funny comment about, you know, how you can be both a devout religious person and love Jesus, but also be a horny little freak. And I love that story. And if you're interested, that product is known as the Cowgirl Supreme. It goes for about $355 on Amazon. Get it while it's hot. Thank you.
For our next story, we transport you from Los Angeles back to Alaska with a story from a Wrangell Mountain Center super supporter, Sophie Latte. Sophie herself is a West Sider who has been around McCarthy long enough to have quite a few stories to share.
But on this night, Sophie shared a story of a solo outing in Anchorage one winter evening that led to an intriguing opportunity crossing her path, and she had to make a choice.
Now, Sophie is also an avid whitewater rafter. She is an experienced rafting guide, and she has participated on several River Song trips. So as a river rat, it is in her nature to just roll with it.
And that's what Sophie did. She let it roll. And that made for a heck of a story. Here's Sophie.
So years ago, probably like 2015 or so, I had... there's a little forestory to this, but I was like between, I had quit my job. My job wasn't working out. It was like awful. I was working in the school district. It was this like terrible situation that I just like hated it. So I quit working there. And I was trying to figure out what I was doing with my life and who I was and, you know, all the questions when you change things and you're like, ah, what am I doing? So I started doing this book called The Artist's Way. Have any of you done that? Okay, you know The Artist's Way. So The Artist's Way is this book that's like every chapter kind of delves you deeper into yourself, and you do these things where you like write pages, you know, every morning you write the morning pages, which is like three pages, and then you do an artist date once a week where you like take yourself out to go do something for yourself because you're like, this is all about me, right? So I'm kind of messed up emotionally from all these things that are going on, and I don't really feel like being seen, and I've been like, it's winter, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my artist date. So I'm looking through the Anchorage Press in Anchorage, and I'm like, well, gosh, this sounds kind of cool. Live drawing, you know, life drawing. So it's like, you know, a nude model that's there and you draw them. And I was aware of that because it's in some previous life I had actually been that person that people drew. And I thought that was pretty fun watching all these drawings that people did of me in like a minute or 5 minutes or a half an hour. You know, you do these different poses and people would just draw it. It's like, that's pretty cool. So, you know, I've been dabbling in art a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I totally want to do that. So I go to find this place. It's the wintertime in Anchorage, and I'm driving down to the east side of town, downtown, and there is, the address is like this random place, and I see the door, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this does not look like a place that I can get into, you know? And so I'm kind of like trying to open the door, it doesn't open, and I'm like trying other doors, they don't open, and then I kind of hear people. And a little while later, like a couple minutes later, this guy comes up and he's trying to get in too. And I'm like, oh, are you going to the drawing class? And he's like, no, I'm going to this other class. And I'm like, oh, what class are you going to? And he's like, well, there's this knot tying class. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're like, well, maybe they're in the same place. So we're, you know, we're walking around the back. And so now we're like around the corner going up the alley and it's just all snow everywhere. And you know, there's a couple doors, and you can't tell what the addresses are now because it's all just like these random back doors that have these little porches. And so I'm walking it through it with him, and we open this one door, and it's like this poker room. Like these guys are looking at us like we just walked into this poker room that we totally didn't belong in. We're like, oh, sorry, we back out, keep walking. We open the next door. And then there's this sign that says live drawing. And I'm like, oh, this is where I want to go. And there's a sign, and then the stairs go down. And then he's going into the room over here that has like, I don't know, 150 people in it. And I'm like, whoa, I think I'm going to go in there instead because that looks like way more fun. So I walk in with him, and, you know, we're kind of late now because it took us a while to find it. So we sit down. And so I'm, you know, just like kind of like trying to take in whatever's going on. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to tie these knots just right, because if you don't tie them just so, then sometimes they slip and then they really hurt. And you want to make sure you get them like right, you know. And so he's demonstrating the knots and everything. And then he like asks for a volunteer. And so this girl comes up and he demonstrates the knot. And, you know, I'm looking around and there's like truckers and like just all these, like all these people that I don't know, but are, you know, the people of Anchorage that come to these places in the winter and gather. And pretty soon, you know, they're like, okay, get a partner. You got to practice the knot. And so the guy that I came in with, he's like, hey, you want to be my partner? And I'm like, what is this? And and he's like, oh, yeah, it's not tying. And I'm like, oh, okay. So anyway, he proceeds to tie me up. And anyway, so like I learn all the knots. And yeah, so I stick it out, learn the knots, and that's pretty much it. So then, you know, I leave that place and I'm like, wow, you know, that was a pretty dang good artist date. Like I had no idea that that's, you know, I thought I was going to be drawing a figure. But anyway, so, you know, explore Anchorage. There's a lot going on there.
Well, I hope that you all have enjoyed the Blue Hour. We certainly had a great time this summer on the West Side. It was fascinating how many stories of people's first encounter with Alaska involved a relationship. A relationship that made for a great story.
I'm guessing that there's probably something about the wild freedom of this place that inspires adventurous romance.
Indeed. If you've got a good story, adventurous romance or otherwise, make sure to join us next August in McCarthy for the Storytelling Festival.
This place has got some stories. Our thanks to Brooke and Sophie.
Our next episode is our last of this season. We hear another story from Mads, the West Side's winning story, in fact. And we hear from longtime resident Nick Merlino in a wacky series of events involving the United States Senator from Alaska, Lisa Murkowski.
And Lisa Murkowski comes out of the door and she shakes somebody's hand here. And then she shakes somebody's hand here. You know, and they have small talk, and then she shakes my hand, and here's my big moment to, like, be like, yeah, I'm a local business owner, blah, blah, blah. And Kathy, to help me out, chimes in about how they call me Mr. Toe around here, because if you look at my company, McCarthy River Tours and Outfitters, Mr. Toe, this is Mr. Toe, across the street here, right? Gives me this whole long thing, like, I don't really need the spiel, Kathy. And but Lisa's looking at me and she's looking at Kathy, like, and then Kathy looks at Lisa and is like, you know, you look really familiar.
You can go to www.wrangles.org, that's Wrangles with two L's, to listen to more episodes from our End of the Road podcast, or find us wherever you find your podcasts. At our website, you can also help support us financially. You can sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, and you can check out the programs that we operate here in McCarthy during the summer.
And visit our Facebook and Instagram pages to stay up to date on WMC happenings and to get a flavor of the sights and sounds as the ever-changing seasons roll on in the Wrangles.
I'm your host, John Erdman, episode writer, producer, and executive director of the Wrangell Mountain Center.
And I'm your host, Michelle McAfee, episode writer and audio engineer.
Thanks to our supporters far and wide. And thank you for joining us at the end of the road.